Hi, welcome to episode 8 of Comic Book Menace. I'm your host, Dave Elliott. And if we could have a fist fight to determine who would be the leader of the United States, I'd love to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson fight Vladimir Putin. In every episode of the Comic Book Menace, I'll be ambushing different comic books, or reprints of comic books, in my collection. Today it's Black Panther, number 8, 9, and 10, from March, May, and July of 1978. And we start with issue 8, Panthers or Pussycats, by writer-artist and Black Panther co-creator Jack Kirby, with inks by Mike Royer. The issue starts with a challenge to the leadership of Wakanda, which includes, unlike in the movie, Black Panther has to fight a whole room full of dudes. And the Black Panther turns to this guy in a purple mask who's ready for his bestowment. He tells the Black Panther, "I've waited many years for this moment." So he wants to fight for leadership. He's ready for his crack. So the two men meet with a loud pow, smash, and a crack. The guy in the purple mask is winning. He seems to be having his way. Black Panther is weakening, losing. Clearly, this is not his day. The guy picks up Black Panther and slams him into the ground. He says he claims the title of Black Panther, Guardian of the Vibranium Mound. And so the battle for leadership of Wakanda has now been completed, with Black Panther laying on the ground, totally defeated. The guy in the purple mask stands there proudly as the winner. He wins leadership of the Black Panther cult and gift certificates to P.F. Chang's for dinner. They want to know who he is. "Take off your mask!" they all start to holla. He removes his mask. Why, it's the son of the former chieftain. It's T'Challa. And so this flashback ends to the day T'Challa became the Black Panther. We see T'Challa in the present, looking back at the past as it were. And now he's in his chopper, heading back to that country that spawned a superhero like the Black Panther. Yes, he's on his way to Wakanda. He's finally going home after a long time being absentee. But he looks down below and sees a life raft with two people stranded at sea. Meanwhile, back in Wakanda, a grave menace has arisen. Is it an animal, a monster, or an escapee from prison? In a home, a family are worried about something breaking inside. The husband tells his wife to take their son, run and hide. He says he wishes he had a gun to deal with this horror, but adds, "But who could foretell the curse of Jakara?" The man's in a panic. He doesn't know what he should do. The door cracks apart and a big pink monster's arm starts to break through. It's a big scary creature, which, man, that's always the worst. As he enters the home, he says, "Fool, I thirst, I thirst." The man runs off with his family, not wanting to deal with this beast. The creature's looking for beer or wine or goat's milk at least. He gulps down the milk like it's a gift from the gods. Then he has to deal with the militia who start arriving in squads. They storm into the home with all their guns ablazing, but he tosses them aside. His strength is amazing. We learn why he's a monster. Pink skin and a huge misshapen cranium. It seems that at some point, it's the effect of exposure to vibranium. But to deal with this menace, Black Panther is nowhere to be found. He's busy rescuing those two guys in the life raft before they drowned. So these two white dudes want to be dropped off on Corsica, the island. But the Panther's in a hurry, he just wants to drop him off on the nearest dry land. The one older bald guy, boy, he's not pretty, he tries to tell the Panther that he's some kind of celebrity. He says he's the president of a large corporation, which is the worst thing to say if you want the Panther's cooperation. Panther doesn't like this guy, we can plainly see his discontent. He says his organization is led by a godfather, not a president. So Black Panther isn't changing course, he's not listening to a word he said. So the other white dude pulls out a gun and holds it up to Panther's head. But he's clearly not going to be scared by some gun-toting maniac. He says they've reached the coast of Africa and they're not going back. So he's had enough of these dudes. Both of them are so appalling. He turns the jet chopper sharply and both of them go falling. They shoot bullets everywhere, but they fail with that attack. Panther says, "I've taken all I can from these two. It's time to strike back." A stray bullet hits the fuel line and left a big hole. "We're going to crash!" one man screams as the chopper spins out of control. The chopper crashes to the ground with a loud boom, and the Panther drags out the older guy, saving him from certain doom. He wants to go back and save the other guy in the burning wreck. But the chopper goes up in a blast, killing that other roughneck. He really picked up a couple of douchebag jerks. This time, he won't be so kind. The other old corporate guy still breathing, he may leave his ass behind. Back in Wakanda, they're trying to deal with the Jakara calamity by trying to assemble as many members as they can of the ruling family. We meet Nagasi, regent and aide to T'Challa, a swell guy. They even named a school after him in Wakanda, you know, Nagasi High. He's assembled Wakandan royalty, one woman and three blokes. Oddly enough, no Wakandan garb, they're just dressed up like normal folks. One guy is a doctor, another in high finance, we learn as they chat. Another is a race car driver. A black race car driver? How progressive is that? We learn a little bit more about Jakara, that he's T'Challa's half-brother. Oh, like Michael B. Jordan? But I guess from a different mother? And then, as if on cue, Jakara burst in through the window. "Hail, cousins," he yells. So nice of him to say hello. Jakara starts fighting the members of the royal family. Oh no, he didn't. Having to fight to be the leader seems like a shitty form of government. Too bad you can't fight your way to being English upper class, because I would totally kick some Queen Elizabeth ass. Next, the army busts in and shoots Jakara with guns that fire acid. He doesn't like that, runs away, and now our scene is quite placid. But still, the days are dark as Wakanda stares into the abyss. Nagasi says what they need is T'Challa to come and finish this. But we see T'Challa is busy, now he's carrying that man from the plane. He's walking through the wastelands and the extra weight is quite a drain. T'Challa is exhausted, lost, and the odds of getting home are overwhelming. He might want to lose the asshole, it would help to have a little downsizing. And so he hikes along, carrying this guy with whom he had a feud. And our issue comes to an end. Why, it's to be continued. Issue 9 by writer-artist Jack Kirby, a legend with very few peers. The story of this issue, as it says it is Black Musketeers. T'Challa continues his hike in what seems like he's been consigned to damnation, but really he's just stuck in the barren wastelands of some West African nation. He's thirsty, he's about to pass out, he puts the unconscious man down. He can't move anymore, but he really better, he's gotta go defend his own crown. And then he starts rolling around in the sand like his sanity is subsiding. And lo and behold, out pops a robot from some place that he was hiding. Back in Wakanda, the army's ready for action, and Jakara is there and lurking. The soldiers try their acid guns on the monster, but the guns are no longer working. He's evolved to be resistant to the most effective weapon in their repertoire. So Kanata of the ruling family has another idea. He runs them over with his car. With Jakara knocked over, the royal family keeps attacking this monster for being mean. The family have their own Black Panther outfits in various colors, orange, purple, and green. During their attack, "Buffoons! Jackals! I'll put an end to you right now!" we see Jakara shout, but pretty soon, they get him to breathe some gas, and that quickly knocks him out. The one guy gets out of his car, the one who made Jakara take that fall. He says they're like the Musketeers, all for one and one for all. So this one got me curious about the original Three Musketeers book. I did a Google search, expecting to see some kind of colonial racist hook. But lo and behold, before I go and give anyone some flack, the writer of said book, Alexandre Dumas, himself was French and black. The crisis has now been averted, and the creature is no longer running wild. But Nagasi has a job of his own to do, paperwork has to be filed. Now he regrets bringing back the royal family as a last resort. He has a bigger problem now, namely the massive expense report. But with news to cheer Nagasi up, the royal family all arrive, with Jakara on the table, and the option is to make sure that he's no longer alive. Meanwhile, T'Challa is in a tent and resting somewhere in the Sudan, attended to by a nurse, some robots, and a weird green lizard man. It's a very strange cast of characters that are helping T'Challa feel groovy. Turns out this odd assortment of freaks is a cast in a nearby filming movie. T'Challa leaves the tent and sees a spaceship in the alien town. They're filming the work of a famous sci-fi author. That's what's going down. They have great costumes and specialized equipment. The director starts to boast. But the Black Panther says, "It's the transportation that interests me the most." The crew, they need the cars and trucks at least until the film wraps. But the Black Panther starts attacking the crew. He really gives no craps. Some of the actors start to panic, and they decide to quickly split. When the Panther gets on some controls and starts to blow up a bunch of shit. And then he decides to act like even more of a creep when he sees two guys nearby driving in a Jeep. He leaps into the car and tosses the two men onto the ground. What did they do to him? They didn't deserve to get knocked around. This movie crew found the Panther and nursed him back to health. And to repay them, he blows up their set, steals the car despite all his wealth. He could have just offered to pay them instead of causing all this strife. And back home, the Wakandans, they want to take Jakara's life. But the doctor says he can't kill him. It's his job to find a cure to the vibranium poisoning that's turned him into a monster. And so the death of Jakar, they decide to postpone. And like the idiots, they leave. Now Jakara is there alone. He wakes back up again, and his human mind is gone. Now he's a creature without much brain, nothing else but brawn. He uses a new power to destroy the wall with a laser from his hand, and then he heads outside, hell-bent on destroying the entire land. Back with the Black Panther, I'm not sure how he knows so much is at stake, but as he rushes home, more shit happens. He cannot catch a break. A plane swoops by, shooting bullets all around the car. They're just warning shots, they're not trying to kill our star. So the plane lands and Black Panther stands there so they can see. He raises his arms and says, "I am your prisoner, come and get me." But he's not really giving up, as we can see his thoughts explain. That Jeep is slow and what he really wants is to steal their friggin' plane. To be continued. On to Black Panther number 10, and still, Jack Kirby, it is by. The story title, this time, This World Shall Die. So Black Panther is going to steal this jet, which I'm pretty sure is some kind of crime. He tells the man, "If they want me for questioning, they'll have to wait for a more favorable time." They try to shoot the Black Panther, but he dodges all their tries. He proceeds to beat the living shit out of these two Sudanese guys. I'm still a little bit confused at this point. Black Panther doesn't know about the Jakara emergency, yet he's beating people up and stealing cars and planes getting home with such urgency. Back in Wakanda, Jakara is alive, and they're all in deep shit. One guy tells Negasi, "We should have destroyed it." Meanwhile, the lumbering mindless beast Jakara has just been found. Everyone freaks out when they see him heading toward the Great Mound. Ooh, he's heading toward the Great Mound. He's so out of order. Well, it is the best tourist attraction I've seen, at least since South of the Border. So back to our story, Jakar the Monster is giving the Wakandan militia the fits. They shoot him with all kinds of heavy caliber shells, but he never ever quits. He keeps walking toward the mound and shooting cars like flies. He's really obsessed with his vibranium in the mound. It must be quite a prize. So meanwhile, all the royal family folks have to deal with this problem most complex. The doctor guy has to come to a conclusion about what they need to do next. Because Jakar was poisoned by vibranium, it has major implications. He's been turned into a creature, a living generator of sonic vibrations. So the monster heads toward the Great Mound, looking for satisfaction. And in the Great Mound, he will trigger a shockwave that will cause a chain reaction. And then the ground mound will explode like a powder keg. And then the entire planet will crack apart like an egg. And so the Panther family, they need to find a way to win. And one doctor has an idea of his own, an anti-sonic toxin. Back with the Black Panther in the jet, he's still on course till he gets attacked by more planes from an unfriendly air force. But he does some quick maneuvers and loses them for a bit, but then he heads for Panther Mount, and it looks like he's going to hit. But the Panther mouth opens up and the Panther flies inside. He loses all the enemy jets. This is the perfect place to hide. And so he's finally made it home, or at least he's not too far. He's got one more last ride to take in his underground pneumonic car. And back near the ground, the Great Mound, the world's time is running thin. But the royal family shoots Jakara and freezes him with liquid nitrogen. With Jakara frozen, here comes the next part of their task. They have to inject the toxin into Jakara's frozen ass. But they run out of time as Jakara breaks free, and it continues toward the Great Mound as leisurely as can be. They have to inject that toxin, but they just don't know how. Until the real Black Panther arrives and says, "I'll take over now." He grabs the toxin and runs toward the Great Mound, and quietly sneaks up on Jakara. Without making a sound, he kicks him in the back and knocks him to the ground, and T'Challa jumps on his back and swings that vial of toxin around. But before he can inject it, Jakara almost blasts Panther in the face. But Black Panther isn't going to give up. He's not going to die with such disgrace. Jakara enters the Great Mound and starts to make some tremors, and Black Panther has to act fast to make sure that the Earth endures. He only has mere seconds, so his last try needs to be his best. He runs toward Jakara and quickly jabs the toxin into his chest. He injects the toxin into Jakara, and every bit is then unloaded, followed by a bright light. I assume Jakara just exploded. We see the Great Mound is shaking, cracking under the stress, and then it stops shaking. The Black Panther must have put an end to all this mess. And that's the end of our story. It took Panther 3 issues to join the fray, and in a span of 4 pages, T'Challa saved the day. The end. And that's that. It's the best Black Panther story of all time, said nobody ever. There's been some really great Black Panther stories over the years, however. For example, the Christopher Priest run seems to be beloved by many people. My favorite is the Don McGregor issues that preceded this Jack Kirby run. Jack Kirby returns to the character that he co-created and did a run of 12 bi-monthly issues in 1977 and 1978. I chose these three issues because it appears to be the shortest storyline that he did within those 12 issues. This particular storyline is interesting in that our protagonist only deals with the antagonist within the last four pages of the story. He spends most of the three issues racing back to Wakanda for reasons that are never explained. He only learns about Jakar when he arrives home at the very end of the third issue. So, why he feels the need to destroy that movie set, steal a car and plane and a jeep and whatever, beat up some people, innocent people, it's never really explained. Seems like he's just being a dick. But it is a fun story in how Kirby keeps throwing all these different roadblocks to keep T'Challa from making it home. The guys in the raft, what happened to that one guy who survived anyway? And then there's the movie set, the Sudanese army, and then the other Air Force later on. It's not the most original story, but it's fun nonetheless. It's a pretty standard for a lot of Kirby work at the time. Action-packed, dynamic art, terrible dialogue, lots of fun. The thing that I find interesting is the introduction of these four other members of the royal family. I don't know if we ever see them again, but they each have their own Black Panther costume, despite the various ages and sizes of the people. Now, as for Jakara, we saw him first in issue 6, and he's a very small guy. He's the half-brother to T'Challa. How many half-brothers does T'Challa have, by the way? And yet, the final showdown between the two of them is very short, and there's no hint of a personal relationship between the two men, or between the man or the monster. I find that odd. It's an odd choice. He doesn't hesitate to kill his own half-brother. Maybe nobody bothered to tell him that this big pink monster was his half-brother. But overall, I enjoyed this story. I'm a big fan of crazy 1970s Jack Kirby stuff. And on a scale of 1 to 2, I give it a 2. And now a section I call When I Read It, where I talk about when I read these three issues. And it wasn't that long ago. It was in the pages of Marvel Masterworks Volume 237, published in 2016. This volume contained Black Panther 1 to 15 and Marvel Premiere 51 to 53. I purchased the book in November 2016, along with five other collected editions that month. My favorite book of the month of November 2016 was Superman Man of Steel Volume 9, a collection of John Byrne Superman books. My second favorite book of the month was Marvel Masterworks 238, the seventh volume of Doctor Strange stories, and my third favorite book of the month was this Black Panther collection. Number 4 was Flash by Geoff Johns, Volume 2. Number 5 was Daredevil Punisher Means and Ends trade paperback, and number 6, Power Man and Iron Fist Revenge, a collection of early 1980s Power Man and Iron Fist stories, which I really don't need to own that. That's got future eBay listing all over it. So that's all for now. Coming in the next episode, I don't know yet, but it's time for an indie book. If you have any questions about this podcast, about Black Panther, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, Dave Elliott at podcastff. Hey, why not leave a review on iTunes, if you want to? You can download other episodes of my podcast at iTunes, or find them all at www.podcastff.com. ff.podbean.com. That's the Fantastic Forecast. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Keep your chin up when you're feeling lonely. Don't let them get you down.